Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the first lesson from Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This is the text. And such a vision. Multitude that no one could count, stretching as far as the eye could see. Christians everywhere. Christians upon Christians upon Christians, from every nation, from all languages. All generations that have lived on the earth from beginning to end, now gathered together. And this is the vision that John is given and sees. It's a vision that probes into the future. It is a vision that is not yet at his time, because it is, well, the multitude that no one could count. Whenever you run across that phrase, it is the full number of Christians. Everyone saved by the name of Jesus Christ, now gathered into one place. And we know when that is. That is at the return of Jesus. Let's go further into this. The great multitude, and this starts us out on a little journey through the Bible, because there are two other phrases: the great assembly, the great congregation. And those are terms that run through the Old Testament. The great assembly and the great congregation puts a slightly different angle on things, because the great congregation is a worshiping group. They are gathered for worship, and that's what they're doing, is singing the praises of God, singing the praises of Jesus. And you can ask me for these references later on, but Psalm 35, "I will give you thanks in the great assembly." Psalm 40, "I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly." Also Psalm 1, Psalm 22, again in Psalm 22, Psalm 26, Psalm 68, Psalm 82. Drifts into the New Testament in Hebrews chapters 2 and 12. Just so you know, this is a theme that runs through our Bible. And what it says is, from even in the Old Testament, the people of God have been looking forward to that day when everybody who belongs to God through Jesus Christ is finally gathered together to worship, to praise, to sing about salvation. There's another description of them, comes a little bit later. This is where the TV preachers go wrong. John asks, and John is asked, "Who are they?" And he's told, verse 14, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation." Oh. Unlike the TV preachers, that's not the seven last years of the world. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, this multitude that no one could count, this multitude that is, by definition, the whole number of Christians from the beginning of the world to the end. Those coming out of the great tribulation, well, frankly, it starts with Abel, who is the first one to die in this world. And it continues on all the way through. It's the great tribulation because it is every single one of us. Every Christian in this world will see tribulation. It is what Jesus said: "In this world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So this is a shared experience from all Christians, and all of us having come out of the struggles and the trials and the difficulties, the heartaches and the tears of this life, then standing before Jesus on that great day, What are we to do? We're going to sing and shout his praises, aren't we? And that is an exciting thing to look forward to. But how's this happen? Let's take a step sideways into the gospel lesson, the Beatitudes, those statements by Jesus, blessed are, that start out, oh, not too bad, but they get very strange very quickly. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those persecuted. How's that happen? You heard in the children's sermon, it happens because Jesus pronounces the word. And when he says blessed, let the whole world try and resist, that blessing is going to happen. When he says blessed are, and then talks about his people, we are blessed. That is, in the face of a world that goes the other way, in the face of a devil that just wants to curse, in the face of all of the trials and difficulties that are a part of this life and this flesh. And he pronounces, blessed are. It's an amazing thing. He's not speaking words of secret wisdom. He's not speaking proverbs that may be easy or difficult to understand. He is speaking as God, who gets to pronounce things and then they are so. This is Jesus who, toward the end of the book of Revelation, it is in Revelation 21, says, see, I am making all things new. He changes everything, and our lives have to fit with the changes he makes. And that's how we become blessed. That's how we become his. But going on in Revelation chapter 7, they're before the throne of God. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And because of the blood of Jesus, his people have the right to be in his presence. We are sinners. And except for the blood of Jesus, we would be separated from God and separated forever. But Jesus is the one who shed his blood for us. Jesus is the one who has cleansed us and washed us and forgiven our sins and made us righteous in his own eyes. Jesus is the one, in the words and phrasing of one of the parables, who supplies us with the robe of righteousness. We are clothed in the holiness of Jesus. We don't have anything of our own to boast of, but simply the holiness of Jesus washes away our sins and then clothes us in his own righteousness so that we can stand before God on that great and terrible day. And on that day, well, let's try and describe it. I get to try and do this with every confirmation class. What will it be on that day? Pulling together some details, you know, the Bible does not say that there are as many angels as there are Christians. In fact, the number that the Bible gives for the angels is much lower than the number of Christians. So what happens on the day when Jesus returns, when the angels are sent out to gather his people from all over the world? And I picture it this way for the confirmation classes, that on that day, if you're one of the first ones to be brought there, carried by the angels, very rapidly brought into the presence of Jesus and set down there, Keep your eyes open. Keep looking around, because you will see one after another very rapidly, Christian after Christian being brought in, carried by the angels, and then the numbers start to accumulate and swell, and then you begin to look farther and farther out, and there are more and more and more Christians, and you begin to notice these are Christians of every hue of skin color, every language under the sun. And they're gathering together with one word of praise, and that is for Jesus, who has redeemed us and brought us and brought us safely to that day and that place and that moment. And you keep on looking out further and further. As far as the eye can see, there are Christians. You begin to realize, there's no way. There's no way any human being, other than Jesus, could count this number. There's just absolutely no way. There are just too many. And you can't see all the way to the edge of where the Christians are. And there we are. There we are. In the midst of that great assembly, that great congregation, that great worshiping assembly, singing and praising Jesus. What an amazing and glorious day. And what is our song of praise? Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Again and again and again, we go back to the one thing that anchors everything we teach and preach. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We sing and we shout our praises to the crucified and risen, the Lamb of God. And in that rejoicing, as it just keeps on going, we celebrate and we rejoice in the blessings we receive. This is our destiny. And as we gather, as Christians in this world, we realize this is only part of the journey along the path that has a destination that is more amazing than we can ever imagine. And all of the ways that we try and describe it, they fall far short. But there we are. Your future, my future, and all of this purchased and won by Jesus Christ. His name.